Hold on, he says. Good morning. So you guys know what this week is. It's family week, where you sacrifice a turkey, I guess, right, for the moment. Or it sacrifices itself for the moment. But this reminds me of this verse this morning. This is from Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. This is what we have a chance to do, not just this coming Thursday, but today. We can enter His gates with thanksgiving. We can go into His courts with praise. We can give thanks to Him and praise His name. And here's why. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Oh, thank you, Lord, that your love endures forever. God, your faithfulness continues to all generations. That includes us. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your love in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your peace in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your joy that you've put into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your patience towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you are kind towards us and gentle towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you're long-suffering, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that shows his mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this moment, Lord, that we get to praise you, Lord, as your people. And we pray, Lord, that you would get all the honor, the adoration, and the glory that you are due. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're here today. Beside you, open up my eyes. Around me. singing out your lovely name. I'm giving you everything. You make my soul alive. You put your love inside. There's nothing that I have need of. There's nothing you haven't done. You make my soul alive. You put your love inside. I'm singing out your lovely name. I'm giving you everything. You make my soul alive. You put your love inside. There's nothing that I have need of. There's nothing you haven't done. You make my soul alive. You put your love inside. Sing holy. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
So many things to be thankful for. So many things to be thankful for. We offer our praise. We offer our praise. Jesus, you're so good, so good. So good, so good. Jesus.
And all the saints and angels deserve the glory. Sing again, you are worthy, 'cause you are worthy of it all.
So
so I'll sing your praise for all my days. And let the fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Let the fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Let the fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Let the fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Let the fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Let the fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Fragrance arise of our love to you. Let the fragrance arise of our love. Let the fragrance arise of our love to you.
In our life, Lord, really can compare to what you've done for us, what you've given us. You're worthy of it all, Lord. Help us live, Lord, lives that realize you're worthy of it all. Help us live, Lord, lives, Lord, that bring you the glory, that you are due. Lord, help our very nature and character align with the fact that you're worthy of it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Skeletons that are in our closets, Lord, into your hands, Lord, because you're worthy of it all. We surrender, Lord, our lives and our will, Lord, because you're worthy of it all. So worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, for all our days, let us sing your praise. Let us give you the worship that you are due. And let our lives, Lord, be worship for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll love on someone. Get some treats if any are left, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
All right, good morning. If you guys wouldn't mind standing with me, we're going to get into our declaration over the city. And we are going to declare this because we love our city, and so does God. Amen? All right, so if we go to that first slide, we're going to say this in unison. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. So, Father, we thank you again, Lord. We continue to thank you, God, for what you're doing in our city, what you're doing in our valley. We just pray, Lord, that we would walk in blessings, God, of all you have, Lord, for this space, God. And I just pray, Lord, over every home, God, that's represented here, Lord, that every home that is in a different spot here in the valley, God, that you would bless our surrounding areas, God. Bless the families in it, Lord. And like we already declared, Lord, may every person in need have all of their needs met. And we just thank you, Jesus, for all this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. So tonight is the Lord's Supper. So this is our annual deal that we do every year. And so we've been talking about it the last few weeks. But if you don't know, perchance, it's tonight at 5:30 downstairs. And this is just going to be an intimate time of sharing a meal and just communing with one another. And so make sure to be here. We have some delicious soups that are getting prepared actually as we speak, and it's going to be great. And so if you know a friend or a family member that needs a place to be and you want to invite them, this would be a good spot to invite them to. Amen. Yeah. And then thank you guys for giving. Thank you for continuing to give to the house of God and for supporting what we're doing here at One Life. And you guys can give here in the box, here, box in the back, as well as online. And thank you for that. And then are we doing children's? Yes. Okay. So, Liana, our soul survivor, we're going to pray for our little Lay. Lord, we thank you so much for our children. God, we thank you so much that you love them and that you have a place for them in the house of God. We thank you, Jesus, that for what Lay is going to learn downstairs and the interaction he's going to have. And we just pray, God, that you would continue to grow, Lord, what is in our hearts, God, for this place in regards to children. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And just one more thing about the Lord's Supper tonight. One of the key things that we do also is take communion, which is, Pastor Eric talked about fellowship with each other, but communion is a chance for us to fellowship in a deeper way with the Lord. So encourage everyone to come, and like Eric said, bring someone, especially those that maybe during this time of year, need someone to love on them. Amen. So this is our final, I shouldn't say final, because who knows, the Lord might do something wild. But as far as I can tell, I've gone through and exhausted every single true parable of Jesus. And actually, I've added a few that weren't exactly considered parables. So today, and I think it's appropriate, is the power of an invitation. The power of an invitation. How many of you like getting invited to something? Especially if there's food, right? Well, you're invited tonight to the Lord's Supper. But yeah, I love invitations. I do sometimes get disappointed when I find out something was going on and I didn't get invited. I don't know why. You know, maybe it's just that I like to be part of things. But obviously, when we have events that are for male and female, I can't go to the female events, and the women can't go to the male events. But sometimes, you know, you have a friend, and you hear that they had a party of some kind, and you see, you know, sometimes on Facebook or other social medias, you see or you've heard about it. You know, if you don't have those, and you say, "Well, why didn't I get an invite?" You know, and you can kind of feel excluded. Well, we're going to talk about an invitation that we all get today. And it's an invitation that carries much power with it. And how we respond to this invitation depends on how much power works in our lives. Amen? So we're going to start off in Luke chapter 14. I have verses 1 through 24. I'm actually going to skip about 6 verses in it. So Don't come to me later on. Anyway, we're going to start verse 1. One Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of a leader of the Pharisees. Excuse me. And the people were watching him closely. There was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in religious law, "Is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath day or not?" When they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man and healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and said, "Which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him out?" Again, they could not answer. I'm going to skip down to verse 12 now. Then he turned to his host. "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet," he said, "don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story or parable. "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But they all began to make excuses. One said, 'I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' After the servant had done this, he reported, 'There is still more room.' So his master said, 'Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet.'" So this particular passage, this particular, communication from the scriptures of the great banquet has this idea that the master wants to have a wedding feast, and he has these guests that are invited, and they're like prime on his list, but they refuse to come because they say their lives are too busy. And of course, in his anger, his fury, he tells his servants to go the highways and the byways. And this is really like a parable that's talking about the time that Jesus lived. It says that he came to his own in John chapter 1, but his own did not receive him. And so to those that do receive him, he gives them the power to be the sons of God. And this is the power of the invitation that we're receiving. Is the power to be son and daughter of God. To be not just going to a banquet, but to be family of the banqueter. So if we look at this idea that Jesus is saying at the very end, the ones that he first invited aren't ever going to be able to partake of the banquet. So for me, I always read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and try to let that carry weight in my heart, because we are the religious people of this day. Those that don't know the Lord or those that are just living their lives for themselves, it seems like they're a little more off the hook, because it says to him who knows much, much will be required. So the more years that you've sat under the word of God, the more years that you've had your time in the word, the more accountable for what you are, because you have the truth in your heart. And how you respond to that truth, just as they were to respond to the truth of Jesus himself, is very important. I want to go ahead and look here at Matthew 22. This is this parable again from Matthew's point of view. And Jesus may have used this same parable a couple of times and mixed it up a little bit. I don't know for sure. But I'm going to use the New King James. It says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding.'" Again, this is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is the people of Jesus' time. "And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready.
come to the wedding, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. This is like the individuals who I believe were going to be like his disciples, or possibly this could be communicating about the early prophets. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. So bad and good were invited to this. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is a mysterious part of this parable. Many are called, but few are chosen. Hopefully I'll try to communicate the truth of this today. I'm going to start off with this idea that we are all invited to Christ's banquet. All of us are invited. There's no one that excluded. It says that God would have it, and this is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit would have it, that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And coming to repentance means to turn from their ways and turn to God's ways. So all are invited, bad and the good, as we saw. In Luke 14:16, we see Jesus replied with this story: "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.'" So the very first coming of Jesus to the Jews, they did reject him, but they had an invitation. Whosoever will could have came to Christ at that point. Verse 21, we see the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleyways of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Notice he's not inviting right away just the good and the bad here. He's inviting those who can't pay him back. He's inviting those that are really, if you think of the poor, especially the crippled, the blind, and the lame, how are they going to get there? Someone's going to have to bring them there. He's calling those who are probably least among us to this banquet. And then Matthew 22:9, "Therefore go into the highways." You ever heard of the expression highways and byways? Go into the highways and byways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Both good and bad. Invite them. So this invitation has gone out. This invitation is the invitation for salvation, as we'll see. This is the invitation for a new life. This is the invitation to be born again. This is the invitation to have communion, fellowship with God. In 1 Corinthians 1-9, "God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership or fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So you have been invited not just to salvation, but you've been invited to partnership. There is an invitation. There's a call that went out on the day that Jesus rose from the dead that started ringing through, I believe, the entire universe. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were empowered with that call. But I believe that when he rose from the dead, the call was already in working. There was already a drawing of the Holy Spirit. I don't know all the things that took place, but I believe it wasn't just Pentecost. God, the Holy Spirit was already starting to work in hearts and getting them ready. Those 3,000 that heard that day were ready. They were being prepared for that message. In Romans 8:28, we see, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. This word called, it's kind of a deep word. You know, we think about the calling of the ministry and all of that. But you could just simply say, and are invited according to his purpose for them. Same Greek word means invitation. Means that you're being invited to a life with God. You're being invited to salvation. Isn't that good news? For me, it's good news. I remember the first time I was invited, and I truly understand it. I embraced that invitation. I ran to the banquet, so to speak, because I did not want to be left out in the cold. Ephesians 4:4 says this in the NET, there is one body and one spirit, just as you too were called or invited to the one hope of your calling. The Greek word G2821 means invitation. So there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your invitation. We have all been invited. Not one of us has been left out. Not one person on this earth has not been invited. My second point is, don't neglect God's invitation. That God's great invitation. Don't neglect it. If we see here in Luke 14 through 18, but they all began making excuses. Have you ever seen people start to make excuses why they don't follow God? Well, I'm not really a good person, you know, I really don't have time for, you know, something else on Sunday morning. You know, they'll start making it about, you know, physical things or what they do. Or how about this? It's like, I'm really not ready to give up that part of my life yet. They start making excuses. Or I'm super busy with work and everything. I just don't have time for this. We see here, one said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, I could see a wedding married, but that excuse didn't work. Matthew 22:5, but they made light of it and went their ways. There's people today that make light of, they call it religion, you know. It's just for basket case people. It's what they need for a crutch. You know, if they were truly intellectual, if they were truly smart, if they truly had some kind of college background, they would understand that's all poppycock. That's all foolery. You know what it says in the Bible? Professing to be wise, they become fools. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And the foolishness of this world is wisdom to God. In other words, what is opposite on this earth and this life is really precious to God. We know that it's the very little child that just seems so insignificant that the Lord is drawn to and he draws to himself. And that is the example for us to come to him as little children. In Hebrews chapter 2, 2 and 3, it says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So this is talking about the individuals who heard the word during Moses' time. And if the word that was spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression, disobedience reserved a just reward, in other words, a punishment, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, as was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So the salvation that we have was first spoken by Jesus when he was here with his disciples and he was doing his public ministry. But now we have heard him by the Spirit. Let's make sure we don't neglect or discount, or as that previous thing says, make light of this great salvation we've been given. Hebrews 12:25 says this, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, will we certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven? Let's not neglect in any way this great salvation. How about this one? Don't get caught without your garment. There's a story that's being communicated. I believe it's John's gospel. And it says that when Jesus was arrested, that someone pulled like an outer garment or whatever it was. It may have just been like a blanket off of someone and they ran away naked. Let's not get caught without our garment. It says here, Matthew 22:11-13. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. I believe the wedding garment represents for us the garment of, that we get from Christ in his righteousness. The garment that represents that we are part of the bridegroom, that we're his bride. I know for us men that's hard to interpret, but really that's the truth, that we are his bride. And this garment that we wear is like a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Isaiah says this, 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." So he's not only clothed us with garments of salvation, but also a robe of righteousness. Now, the righteousness that we wrap around us is not our own righteousness. Many of us know our righteousness, our deeds, what we do to try to please God is like filthy rags to him. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't measure up to what God requires. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus says that he gave himself, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He literally became your sin and my sin so that what? We could then have his righteousness. And what is that righteousness? It's a robe of righteousness. And what's the thing about a robe? What do you have to do with it? You have to keep it on, don't you? There's something about our need to make sure that we're clothed in that righteousness, that we're not standing in our own abilities, our own. Basically, we're not trying to do it ourselves. We're relying on Christ. Galatians 3:25-27 says it this way. "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So there's this idea that we're literally putting on Christ, but putting on Christ is putting on his robe of righteousness. It says garments of salvation. So, I mean, to me, there's multitudes of people that are receiving Christ's salvation. You know, it says, talks about in the Bible that some will be saved, but their works will just burn up. In other words, it was wood, hay, and stubble, as I think Corinthians says. And they just burn up because they're not eternal. And I like to say they get saved. They have garments of salvation because they believed in the one who saved them. But I believe they had no real robe of righteousness where there was no standing on in their own power. They were always relying on Christ. Not that they didn't have bad days or bad months or bad weeks or even bad years, but that in their hearts of hearts, they were relying on Jesus for everything. They didn't just receive his salvation. They received his life into them where they were no longer being conformed to the world. They would be transformed by the renewing of their mind. They were literally becoming the image of Jesus. And this final part, that we need to remain chosen. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. The CEV says this way, many are invited, but only a few are chosen. The Message says it this way. That's what I mean when I say many get invited, but only a few make it. There's a scripture that Jesus talks about where the road to destruction is wide, but the road to eternal life is narrow. And it makes it sound like there's not going to be many that are saved. I don't know if that's the case. I've heard that, you know, it just means that just a few are going to get saved. I don't know about you. This is the way I think. But I don't think the devil's kingdom's going to be bigger than God's kingdom. I think he's going to be the one that is victorious. But I do believe that for us in this time, the road to destruction is very wide. We can be part of the world system, and it is a destructive system. Or we can be the ones that are walking the narrow path through the door, who is Christ, every day of our lives, and that is eternal life. And we get to live in eternal life now, not just in the future. We get to live in that promise that the Holy Spirit says is the deposit of things to come. We get to experience a little bit of heaven now. Maybe not all of it, but I believe we are able to experience part of that divine heavenly experience that we'll sometime and someday get to experience in the fullness. Amen? Better say amen. That's a good one. John 5:6-7, anyone who does not remain in me, so this is about remaining chosen, is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. So there's a choice that we need to remain in Christ. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. So it's not just that we're just going to oh, you have something? John 15, thank you. Thank you. I missed that. John 15:6-7. Thank you. What's that? You know what you meant? Okay, good. It was up there, right? But Jesse's copying down verses, so he's probably thankful. Yeah, he's putting thumbs up. Yeah. Anyway. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted you. Not just remaining in Jesus so that we can have salvation, but so that we can be ones that ask God for what we need and what for others need. We become a conduit of heaven because we're remaining in him. But again, if we don't remain in him, it's like we're a useless branch that withers. Lord, do not let me become a useless branch. Let me stay attached to the vine all the time. And then James 1:21, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept. That's really the key. We're talking about humility here. We're talking about saying, Lord, I can't do this life on my own. I'm not capable. I don't care how long I've been walking with him. I don't care how much of the Bible I know. I don't care how much, you know, I can say that I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and I speak in tongues and all of those things that are part of the spiritual life. They're not enough to sustain me. I literally have to have a connection with the vine. I have to have a connection where life flows to me all the time. Because otherwise, when I rely on my own strength or my own knowledge or on my giftings or whatever it may be, I end up becoming like that one who's rejecting him. And I start to wither. And humbly accept the word of God has the word of God. And humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. Has the power of salvation. And who is the word of God? Jesus. And when we read the word, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible. When we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit illuminates that word and it becomes the word to us. It becomes literally Jesus to us, and we receive new insight, revelation, instructions, guidance, sometimes correction. Has anybody been challenged by the word? Has anybody been rebuked by the word? Has anybody been encouraged by the word? That's because the word is alive. And when we're in the word and we become people of the word, it has the power to save our souls. And if you think about it, our souls are the part of us that need to be saved. That mind, will, and emotion. You know, where our thoughts go, you know, where we think things and maybe don't say the things, but in the deepness of our heart, there's wickedness and there's sometimes evilness that doesn't necessarily show on the surface. But the word of God has the power to save that part of us as part of that renewing that mind. So let the power of the invitation that you have received have its full work in your life. Don't neglect that power. Don't push away the invitation. And don't get caught without your garment. Remain in your garments of salvation, your robe of righteousness. And when you do that, I believe, as it says, we will be invited into the eternal banquet. I don't know what that's going to be like. You know, the final banquet of the Lord, the supper of the King, you know, the time where all of us who have been on the earth from the beginning of Adam all the way to the very last person that's saved are gathered somewhere and having a banquet. I don't know how big that banquet's going to be. And I don't know if it's a literal banquet where we're all eating food. I kind of think it is, you know. And some of us, you know, who don't know better will be eating turkey and, you know, and the we'll be sleeping over in the corner after it has its effects on us. I'm kidding. Does anybody else have that effect when they eat turkey on Thanksgiving? Start falling asleep on the couch? But the power of the invitation, Jesus saying, I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. Just think about that. Called you by your own name. Not just called the earth in general and you just came. No, he called you by name. And for those of us that have received that invitation and are now walking in that light, our lives are different. And I believe we'll never be the same. But they can be glorious. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you, God, that you have sent out your invitation, Lord, to all mankind. And Lord, thank you for our hearts being able to receive that invitation to salvation. That invitation, Lord, to sonship. Lord, that invitation to a new life in you. Lord, we are grateful and thankful, Lord, for that invitation. And Lord, help us, God, to live lives worthy of that invitation, worthy of the salvation that you have brought us, worthy of the relationship, Lord, that you have purchased for us. Oh, Lord, we need to remain in the chosen state. We need to remain, Lord, in our garments, God. We need to never neglect such a great invitation and salvation that you brought us. Thank you, Lord, for being in our lives, number one. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us, as your word says, and that we did not choose you. Let the full work of salvation, the full work and the power of the invitation that you have sent forth in our lives have its perfect way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. worthy of it all. Let our lives be a sacrificial offering to you, Lord, because you're worthy of it all. Help us to fully embrace, Lord, the invitation, the calling that you've sent forth into our lives. And help us live lives worthy of that invitation. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I have an invitation for you. Tonight, 5:30, please join us for the Lord's Supper. It'll be an awesome time. And why don't you send out an invitation to someone that you love to join us? Amen. Have a great day.